got all my bits here. Very, very good. Just at the start of the service now, the hosts are going to come. We've got the week three study coming around, so they're going to hand around that to everybody who needs it. If you haven't got a breakthrough pack yet, there are still some up the back. Is there anybody who hasn't yet got one of our 6 weeks to breakthrough packs? Brian's holding up the pack. A few people have been away. A couple over here. Why don't we won't grab one of those for people as well who need them? That's really, really good. I should have had a spare one up here so anybody who didn't have one knew what I was talking about. Jono and Michelle there. Brian, they've been away, probably working or something boring like that. Good. Excellent. Everybody got one of them ready to go. You haven't got one. We got more. More in other rows there. Okay. Another one down in here. Brian, I think. Wendy's looking for one. There's other people. Good. Excellent. Who's fasting something? Whoa. That's a lot of people fasting something. Are you starting to find it's getting a bit tougher? Was it easy this week or getting a bit harder? A bit better for some, a bit harder, a bit tougher for some. I just want to encourage you. If God has spoken to you and said, why don't you give this up for 6 weeks, or why don't you fast in a certain way, then this is the week to push through. It does get harder, but that meal that you give up, that bit of Facebook that you give up, that food, that meat that you give up, whatever it is that you're doing, think about it in contrast to the breakthrough you're believing God for. Yeah? It's nothing. That little thing is nothing compared to what you are believing God to actually break through in your family, in your own life, in your workplace, wherever it is. So keep going. Don't be discouraged. Keep going. Cheer each other on. You're doing well. There's only 3 more weeks to go. Yeah, we can do it. Yes? It's all good. Excellent. Very, very good. Well, today I have got a really excellent topic, if a bit scary. The topic today is old-fashioned holiness. Old-fashioned holiness. And sometimes we're not too sure whether we like holiness because we'd rather stick to our sin where we're comfortable sometimes. So I want to talk today about the issue of holiness. For some of us, we need to make sure, if we want breakthrough, we've got to get this holiness thing right. For some people sitting here today, the issue is the holiness that they're wanting breakthrough in, because there's an area of their life that just grabs hold of them constantly. So I hope what I'm going to share today is going to be helpful for everybody. But just a warning at the beginning, there is a phenomenal amount of Bible in today's message, okay? So you've got to be ready for that. Get it out. Ron's quite correct. I promise you this is not a Clio magazine up here. Anybody is free to look at my notes after the service and double check. But you need the Word of God. You need the Word of God. What Denise said in her testimony there is just so powerfully true. You need it. You need it every day, because that's how the Holy Spirit builds up your spirit, and you've got that stuff deposited in your life. If it's not there, then God's got nothing to draw on to speak to you. So you need to have it embedded in your heart and life. Okay, I'm going to start, and this is a story we did read this week, in Joshua chapter 1. And the children of Israel are on the very edge of breakthrough. They have come to that point where they are about to cross the Jordan River. They have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. They have had no breakthrough all of that time. They have been going around and around in circles, not achieving the thing that God had for them. It sounds like they're in a bit of a similar situation to us when we're believing God for breakthrough. And this is what God says. God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Awesome. On the edge of breakthrough, standing virtually on the banks of the Jordan River, about to cross in to what God has promised to them. And the word of God is so encouraging to Joshua. He's saying, come on, you can do it. Don't be discouraged or afraid. Grab hold of everything that I have for you. Be bold, be strong. We could sing the song, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And just go forth. But we read on another chapter later, and what is it that Joshua says to the people as they prepare? As he is actually, they're about to set foot. The priests are about to set foot into that river. And in Joshua chapter 3, this is how Joshua leads them. God has come and spoken great encouragement to him. Great faith, great inspiration. Be bold, be strong. Everywhere you set your foot, you are going to prosper. This is the land that I am giving to you. This is where we want to live. We want to live in this breakthrough. We want to know this power of God so that we're living in this place where everywhere we stand, we see success and prosperity and the blessing of the Lord. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites arrived at the banks of the Jordan River where they camped. 3 days later, the officers went through the camp giving these instructions. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. What did they have to do? Purify themselves. They wanted those wonders. If they wanted to cross that river into the promised land, then what they needed to do was purify themselves. If we want to break into the fullness of the promises of God for our lives, then we have to purify ourselves. We have got to be prepared to put self down, submit it to God, and say, I want to live a life that is holy before you, Lord God. I want to live a life of purity that honors you. I need to get rid of the sin that ensnares me. In Hebrews 13, it talks about how we get tangled up. It's a weight that drags us back. Somehow we sometimes think it's something we need, but the sin is a weight that is like dragging on our legs and holding us back, and we need to purify ourselves if we're going to walk into the fullness of the promises of God. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, it says, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. Let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. Because of the promise, because of the fulfillment that we have got, because of the potential of what God wants to do in our lives, because of this, we purify ourselves. Because of this, we are committed to living a holy life. And then Jesus puts out this amazing challenge in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect. Not a little bit. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 15, but as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all your conduct and manner of living. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The standard that God is setting for us is one of holiness. That's the standard. Be perfect. Be holy. God is holy. And you be holy too. It's not any kind of halfway. That'll do. It's the standard is high. The bar is lifted. It's not way down here somewhere. It's way, way up there. Now, holiness is often very, very uncomfortable to face because as human beings, we have a very good way of justifying our own actions. We hang on. We tend to hang on to sin in our lives. We grab hold of it and we let it sit there. We let it camp there in our hearts and lives, and we bring a whole lot of self-justification to that. We kind of say, this is okay. It's all right. It doesn't matter if I hang on to this thing. Even though our conscience is telling us deep down that it's the wrong thing to be doing, we let this thing hang around in our hearts and lives. This is where we need breakthrough. We've got to be able to deal with it and get rid of it. Now, I am very, very tempted today. You don't know how tempted I am to give you all a list of things that you should do and things that you shouldn't do. It would be a very good list. It would be a very, very good list. And they wouldn't even be my ideas. They'd be straight out of the Bible. But there's probably quite a few of you that I could go, you need to do this and this and this and stop doing that and that, and your life will be 1,000% better than it is today. And I can tell you that. I can tell probably quite a lot of you exactly what the things are that you ought to stop doing and what things you ought to start doing that would make a huge difference in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, one example of the list. The Bible is full of lists of things that you should and shouldn't do. If you haven't read them, you need to put those pages back in your Bible. Take out the bit where you covered up those parts and glaze over it quickly when you read it and start thinking about it. Ephesians 5, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Verse 10, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about things that ungodly people do in secret. Verse 15, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's only one of the lists. There's lots more. It is very clear from Scripture that as Christians we are called to live differently to the rest of the world. You are meant to be different. You are not meant to be the same as everybody else. we've been reading at our house, and I know lots of you have too, a fabulous book by Craig Groeschel called Weird. I strongly recommend it to every single one of you. Every single one of you should read this book. And he talks about how we are meant to be weird. We are meant to be different. We are not meant as Christians to fit in and be the same as everybody else. We are meant to live lives that are radically different. People should be able to tell the difference by the way you behave. Yeah? People should be able to tell the difference. The world's standard of living is not going to do if you want breakthrough. If you want victory, if you want to overcome, you cannot afford to slide down into comfortable. I can put up with this sin. I can hold on to it. I can have that negative attitude. I can have that immorality. I can have that impurity. I can have that addiction. Whatever it is, that's fine. But if you want breakthrough, if you want overcoming, if you want victory, then you are going to have to deal with it and begin to live differently in your heart and life. Yeah? God wants to do great wonders in your life. He has an amazing plan and a purpose for you. But if you are going to position yourself for breakthrough, then you have to purify yourself. You have got to get rid of the sin and the weight that's holding you back. Purity has got to be right into the heart, because in the end, it's not just about the list. It's not about the outward actions. It's about the heart that's on the inside. If your heart is pure, then you're not going to need a list. Because I know that most of you have read the list before. You've read it. You've read more than one of them. And somehow we all manage to either glaze over the bits that we don't like, or think very carefully about how that applies to somebody else, but not to us. And we read it and we focus, yes, that husband of mine, that child of mine, that friend of mine, they need to know about this verse and stop doing that. And we don't look at ourselves and think about what we need to do. The lists are there, and you're quite capable of reading them, but we don't always do what the list said. We've got to get our hearts right on the inside. So today I want to share, that was all introduction by the way, I want to share 5 principles that I believe are going to help you with a life of holiness. Because in the end it won't be about the list. As I said, I can give you one. But if I give you a list, then I'm speaking out of my conviction. You need to get before God yourself and say, God, I need to be purified so that the sin, the things that hold me down, I get rid of that, I deal with it, and I'm able to move forward. Because if it's not your personal conviction, then no change will happen in your heart and life. I am not sure why you need an extra personal conviction, because those things are written in here. It should be enough that they're written in here, but let's move on. So the first principle 1 is slavery. Slavery. Romans chapter 6. Since we have been united with him in his death, I'm starting at verse 5, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. This is saying you are a slave to something. You are. So principle one, slavery. You are a slave to something. You will be the slave of whatever you choose to obey. Are you a slave to alcohol or swearing or internet porn or negative attitudes or fear? Is this the stuff that you are a slave to? Is that what you're enslaved to? Do you obey your body, or are you doing what the Spirit wants you to do? Because we've got this thing inside it. There's two things at war inside each and every one of us. And we've got this thing that wants to enslave us to all of that negative, horrible stuff. The truth is that Christ has set us free, but we make a choice about what we're going to... We can be a slave to God and live out righteously, or we can be a slave to sin. And we make the choice on that. Fasting. You make a choice not to eat for that meal, or not to have meat for that meal, or not to go on the internet, or whatever it is that you are doing. You're making a clear choice. When you're fasting in your physical body, you feel hungry. You want something to eat. Your physical body is telling you to do one thing, but you make a choice to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a choice to live for righteousness here, because I know this is something that God wants me to do. I'm not saying that you have to fast every day, but I'm just using it as an example, because when you're hungry, you really feel it. Your body's telling you to do one thing. Your body is telling you, eat, eat, eat. I am hungry. I need food. I want that thing. My husband and I had a lovely night on Friday night. We went to see Mary Poppins at the Capitol Theatre. And we are both on various forms of fasting. And there was this lovely young woman walking around in this beautiful old traditional theatre. And she was selling trays that had choc-top ice cream cones. And we couldn't buy one, because we were both not allowed to eat that sort of stuff on the fast. The body is telling you, I want one of those choc-top ice cream cones. How adorable that this girl, this has been years and years since I've been in a theatre and people have walked around selling me ice creams like this. I want to be able to do it. I want to be able to do it. But no, I choose not to be a slave to the choc-top ice cream cone, but a slave to what God was asking me to do. Yeah? That's the choice that we make. Getting up early in the morning to pray. Oh God, my bed is so comfortable. This mattress is so lovely. The doona is so warm. We can be a slave to the physical body that's telling us, stay in bed, stay in bed. God won't mind if you stay in bed a little bit longer. It's not going to hurt you to stay there and snuggle up. God wants you to rest. He needs you to have more sleep. You're wrong. Don't worry about it today. But we want to be slaves to righteousness. Get up. Obey the other voice. Obey the voice of the Spirit that says, come and spend time with me. Come and spend time with me. You need me more than that doona and that mattress, let me tell you. Yeah? What are you obeying? You are a slave to something. You are a slave to something. What is it going to be? Principle number two is freedom. The opposite to slavery. I love in that song, we sang it today, that he's coming with freedom at his side. We've got to grab hold of it. Further down in Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Slavery is contrasted to freedom. And I'm sure this is why Paul's using this in this passage. It's a free gift. It's better than the steak knives. Better than the cosmetic purse you get if you spend more than $100 at the counter or whatever it is. This freedom comes from Christ. You don't give it to yourself, all right? And the self-help gurus will tell you that there's some way that you can set yourself free, but you can't, not to the core of your being. Christ has made you free. It is a present. It is a gift, all right? It's something that you have been given, absolutely given. You can't do it all on your own because it's a present that God has given you. Moses led the people out of Egypt. They were in slavery. Their taskmasters told them when to get up, when to go to their bed, how much time they had during the day, how hard they had to work. When we think about it in a modern day context, we think about girls and boys that are sold into some kind of sexual slavery where they are abused to be kept there in that position they're in, and they are forced to use their bodies to behave in certain ways. That's slavery. It is ugly. It is genuinely horrible. So why do we allow ourselves, in fact, to be abused by sin and held and trapped in something when we have a free gift? We have freedom from Christ, a present that God has given us. And we're free not to do just whatever we want. We are freed to fulfill our purpose and our destiny, yeah? God has something for us to do. He has a good plan and a purpose for our lives, and He has set us free so that we can fulfill it. Bit of a silly example. Fiona, rescued by Shrek from the terrible dragon. She's not rescued just for the sake of being rescued. The purpose of the exercise is not just to rescue, but the purpose is that she's actually a princess, okay? And she needs to fulfill her destiny. And it's the same for every one of us. God hasn't set us free just for the sake of it, but in order to fulfill the destiny and the calling that He has for us. So freedom is not an excuse to keep on sinning. Oh, Christ has made me free, so it doesn't matter if I go out drinking on Friday night and get drunk. Christ has set me free. I am free from the law. So if I want to go on the internet and look at all that pornography, it's perfectly fine. It's not a problem. Christ has set me free. So if I drop swear words and use them in conversation, then God can't tell me any different because He's made me free. But that's not what we have our freedom for. It's not what we have our freedom for. We have our freedom so that we can live out the life of destiny and purpose that God has called us to. Yeah? Principle number three, forgiveness. Principle number three is forgiveness. Holiness won't be working if you rely on doing good all the time and never doing wrong. Because in case you haven't noticed, you're having trouble with that. All right? You are having trouble with that. I know that you are. Holiness runs on forgiveness. It's like the fuel in the tank. Forgiveness is what you need to keep it going. 1 John 1 says, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." What are the things that you're struggling with? We think about the list: sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, drunkenness, whatever it is, come to God and ask Him for forgiveness. Yeah? Forgiveness is the thing that is the fuel in the tank, because trying to do it out of your own effort, you are not going to last. Maybe for you it's anger, maybe for you it's fear. Whatever it is, come to God and ask Him to forgive you for those things. Keep short accounts with God. Don't let it build up. Don't bury it. The longer you leave it, the more your conscience will become seared by it, and the more likely you are to make excuses and say that it's okay. because your conscience actually gets seared and you make an excuse for it because you've left it go on and on and on. Yeah? That's what happens to us. We come up with some sort of self-justification and we start to convince ourselves that maybe it wasn't sin after all. We'll go back and look at that bit about impurity. Oh, it doesn't refer to what I do. It only refers to other things. Whatever it is, yeah? If we leave it. So ask God for forgiveness. Keep short accounts. Start fresh every day. Lamentations chapter 3. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Yeah? It's there for us. It is there for us all the time. Forgiveness is the fuel that runs in the tank. Yeah? Principle number 4, the Spirit. Holiness will flow out of your ongoing relationship with God. It flows out of it. Galatians chapter 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. These things do not flow out of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. It's a fruit. You plant the seed, you nurture it, the tree grows and it gets its fruit. The seed of God is planted in our lives. We nurture it. We pray. We read the Bible. We commit ourselves to fellowship and holiness flows out because what we've done is we have invested into the Spirit. We've nurtured the spiritual life in us so that the Spirit can flow out. If you have a holiness problem, then think about what it is you're choosing to obey and what you're nurturing in your life. Yeah? If you've got a problem with quarreling, what are you nurturing? What are you nurturing? Are you feeding into negativity about another person that you're constantly arguing with so that that's the thing that rises up? If you've got a problem and it's selfish ambition, what are you feeding into? Me, 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 me. What I want, I want, I want. We're not feeding in to the Spirit of God. We've got to feed and nurture the Spirit of God in our lives. We have been set free. We have it. It is available to us. But we're going to make a choice on whether that's the thing we feed and nurture in our lives or whether it's something else. And principle number 5, seriously running out of time here, is right habits. You've got to set yourself up for success. If you don't understand that you're a slave to something, you're unlikely to live a holy life because you're just going to live in bondage to the sin. You won't even know that you're acting like a slave to it. If you don't understand that it's Christ who set you free, you'll be struggling to strive for freedom instead of realizing that it was a free gift that you just got given. You have to walk in forgiveness because you're not going to succeed without it. You've got to nurture the life of the Spirit for holiness to flow out of your life, and you need to set up right habits. I cannot emphasize this enough. Flee from sin. Flee. Run away. Okay? Run as far as you can and as hard as you can and as fast as you can. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. 1 Corinthians 6:18, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Run, don't hang around there, get right out of the way. Saw something on the telly this week. I think it was that Time Team thing, and they were looking at something from World War II, I don't know, and they were setting up some sort of bomb, and it was a practice training thing, and they had to see what the impact of it was. It was sort of like a fake setup, and they planted this bomb on the side of the tank or whatever, and they had to run as far as they can because they knew they only had 3 seconds to get away from it or they were going to die. And they were sort of doing this thing, and one of the guys, you know, they reckoned that only one of them kind of made it. You have to actively flee from sin. It is like a bomb going off in your life. You have to turn away from it and run as hard and as fast as you can away from that thing. Whatever it is, keep away from it. If it's on the internet, then disconnect it. Yeah? If certain people drag you down and every time you spend time with them, you find yourself being negative, fearful, and getting into arguments, then don't hang around with them. Run away. Move away as fast as you possibly can. If it's your girlfriend, then don't be alone together. All right? Don't be alone together. You have to flee. Don't think that it can't happen to you, because it can. It can happen to any single one of us. It was a real revelation about many, many years ago, and I know that I've said it to you before. Ron and I were sitting with John Ollis, and we were talking about, more than 25 years ago, we were sitting with him, and we were talking about a number at that time of really famous preachers who were on television, supposedly godly people who were setting up a standard for God, who had been found in the most horrendous sexual sin. And we said to John, give us some wisdom, John. You're a mature man of God. What happened here? How come these people who preach the word of God so effectively, who are such role models for so many, how come they have been caught out in these terrible sinful deeds? And he said, they think it couldn't happen to them, and they didn't protect themselves against it and set up walls and barriers. You have got to flee. Set up right habits in your life so you run away as far and as fast as you possibly can. God didn't put the rules in here just for extra pages in the Bible, all right? They weren't put there just for the extra pages. Set rules for yourself. Be accountable to somebody about it. This last week at work, we've had an audit. We are audited probably once every couple of months by somebody at our work, because we are accredited by so many different bodies that they all come around and they do audits quite regularly. This week we had one, a three-year one from the ISO people. So we worked pretty hard, didn't we, Diddy, getting through all of that. But, you know, the Bible has an audit standard. You know, when we have an audit at work, somebody comes in and they've got the standard, they've got the list of criteria that you've got to be meeting, and they check every single one of those criteria to see if you are meeting that standard. They do an audit, they check. The Bible has an audit standard on this whole area, and it's Philippians 4, verse 8. And it says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Don't watch things on television or read them in books or magazines or look at them on the internet if it doesn't pass the Philippians 4:8 audit standard. Yeah? Set that audit standard. If it doesn't meet that standard, then ditch it from your life. We need to purify ourselves to see breakthrough in our lives. You can't do it on your own. Holiness and purity doesn't come from, I don't know, beating yourself with funny whipping sticks or some sort of pious behavior. It's a gift of God, but we are called to be holy and to live different. We all struggle with sin. Every one of us here in this room is exactly the same. It may not be the same sin that everybody is struggling with, but there's no grades. There's no like, this one's worse than this one. Yeah? We all struggle with sin. And we all have times when we convince ourselves that something is okay, when deep down we know that it's really not. We just need to know the power of God in our hearts and lives. In Romans chapter 8, and Jill read the end part, I want to read you just some snippets from the earlier bit. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please God. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit of God. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You have received a spirit that makes you, not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs, and we are heirs of His glory. Today is an opportunity to clear the decks. Yeah, why don't we stand together? Why don't we stand together? For some people, there could be some difficult decisions here. Maybe things that you've been putting off for years and hanging on to that are sitting there in your heart and life. But today is an opportunity to clear the decks of that stuff. Clean slate. What a relief that would be. How good would it be just to come before God with a clean slate? Not carrying any of that baggage of sin or impurity or fearfulness or anger or whatever it is that grabs hold of your heart and life and is controlling you other than the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to live a holy life. That it's your desire, Lord God, that we should come into your presence and before you, and that we should purify ourselves. Lord, we long to see breakthrough. We're believing for breakthrough in our families, in our church, in our ministry, in our relationships, in our physical bodies. Lord, we want to see the power of God at work in our lives. And we come to this moment, Lord God, and we're just about brave enough to ask you to purify us. Lord God, that we would put aside the sin. That we would put aside the sinful nature that wants to rise up and say, obey me, do what I want you to do. And instead, we would live in the voice of the Spirit. We would live, Lord God, in the power of the freedom that you have bought for us. That we would walk, coming to you, Lord God, walking in forgiveness, knowing that this free gift is there for every single one of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. God, we know deep down all of the things that are just like a barrier. And for some of us, Lord God, they're churning around in our stomachs now, or they're hitting us like flashing lights, Lord God. You know the thing that you hang on to that, I don't know, somehow it seems comfortable, you're used to it, but it's hurting you. It is stopping you from achieving the breakthrough that God wants you to achieve in your life. This is the thing that's actually going to hold you back. And you've got a choice today, whether to obey the urge just to hang on to that thing because you're used to it and it's comfortable. And I don't know, maybe you like being negative, or the anger thing, you're just used to dealing with it that way. Or there's an addiction or a sexual thing, Lord, that you just can't imagine life without, and you hang on to that thing. But it's hurting you today. It's really hurting you. Today's an opportunity just to come before God and get rid of it, to deal with it. Yeah. We don't often do this on a Sunday morning, but I just want to make the front of our church available to all of you. If you've got something today that you really say, God, it's time that I gave this thing up, this thing that grabs hold of my heart, I want to deal with this one today, then why don't you come and kneel at the front here and say, God, I want to lay this one right at your feet, because I don't want this to be controlling me anymore. Yeah? Why don't we do that together? I'm going to ask these guys to sing. And if that's you, if you've got something that you need to put down, you need to deal with, it's time for that thing to die, then why don't you come and kneel here, right at the front of the church, yeah?